Hi there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Morehead State University President Dr. Jay Morgan. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you. Glad to be with you. It's a beautiful day on campus today, and the sun is shining, but nobody is here.
That is true. It is weird to be on an empty campus when you usually see hundreds of people outside, but that's not the only changes that have been happening here. I know the COVID-19 pandemic has had a big impact, and now that we're almost through the fiscal quarter, what are some of the impacts that you're seeing that someone outside the administration might miss?
Well, if you, Leanne, if you hit rewind to March 23rd or so, it was a very strange time on our campus. Our campus finished the abrupt change to online instruction and pretty well. There was a little disruption. I think it came as a shock, but our faculty, our staff, our students, and others really rose to the occasion, and we got through it. As you know, about 2 weeks ago, we ended the spring semester. And right now, for the summer, we're in traditional summer camp time. Normally, we would have summer camp starting to spill into campus, so we've been managing through how we delay those for another year. Our camp partners, like Governor Scholars, Rogers Scholars, athletic camps, all those affiliates have been very, very good at working with us to delay that or delay those camps till next year. So right now we've been working through that. We've also been working on how we can restart our campus to start bringing back some employees on June the 1st. That's been quite a challenge. And also, how do we get our campus going again? We've all kind of been sitting in our living rooms and homework areas at the kitchen table now for about 2 months, and that's been quite a challenge, but I think we're starting to get there. So lots of changes on campus and lots of things moving over the past couple of weeks.
The spring semester just ended and graduation was postponed. Do we know yet about the success rate for students that had to transition from campus to online learning?
We do not. It's a little early to do that. As you know, we calculate a fall to spring retention rate. We also calculate a fall to fall retention rate. Our fall to spring retention rate was one of the best ones we've ever had, 89%. Which is phenomenal for a campus like ours. What we have not done yet is look at the completion rate of people who either passed or failed for this spring. I know our faculty who were instructing courses have been very, very accommodating to a number of students, and that's really positive for the students. They struggled through some of this abrupt change. But we don't have that data yet. That'd be interesting to take a look at.
Now, generally, when the semester ends, we go directly into the Maymester here at MSU. Did that happen, or did I miss an email?
No, you didn't miss an email. We are in full swing of Maymester right now. Just started recently. Today, of course, being May 26, Maymester is starting to get up and moving. Our Maymester enrollment is okay, but as you know, almost all of it's online anyway. So any given summer, most of our Maymester courses are online, and consequently, the vast, vast majority of all of our courses in the summer are delivered through online instruction. We have a number of students in any given summer who would be doing clinical placements, internships, externships, variety of work opportunities both on and off campus. Some of those are going forward, but we're carefully evaluating each of them to make sure that it's a safe environment for the student, either in an off-campus work spot or an on-campus work spot. But summer courses are rolling as normal. We've had to modify just a couple that were traditionally on campus, but everything else is full speed ahead for the summer.
And are enrollment numbers for summer courses kind of okay as well?
Right now, I would say okay. Our Maymester looks okay. We did do a little bit of adjusting because we did not know what COVID-19 would bring. So we adjusted our budget a little bit for the summer just to be cautious and conservative with it. In looking at the numbers that we have right now, they look okay for summer. If you want just a general defining standpoint on them. We're seeing some of the semesters are gently up, some are gently down. But I also think students have been very cautious, too, because they took a lot of online courses in the latter half of the spring semester. Some of them are ready to get back to face-to-face, so they may be skipping summer. But no cliff for this summer, but a little bit of differential. But nothing that's going to hurt us too bad.
I know that generally in the summer, campus is still bustling with camps and programs like Governor Scholars and Upward Bound. Since those programs won't be here this summer, is it affecting the university financially?
Well, they do partially. Many of our summer camps are what I call value added. And what I mean by value added is one of the things we really take pride in is getting students, prospective students, who come to us from summer camps, some who have their eyes on us and some who have never thought about maybe attending Morehead State University, actually get a chance to come to campus, live in one of our residential halls, eat some of our food in our food court, sit in our classroom, go to our recreation center, and do the many things that all those camps have the opportunity for a student to see. It's almost like a looking window into their future. What could college look like for them? You mentioned about not having those camps, and what does it mean? First and foremost, it means we don't get those individuals on our campus, and that's where we miss a lot of the value-added piece. The second part is there is a little bit of a financial hit, so to say, because those camps are not coming and students are not buying food and they're not buying T-shirts and they're not living in our residence halls. But oftentimes the expenses that we do not accrue partially offset what that loss of revenue will be. So we do anticipate we know there's a loss of revenue for this summer from not having summer camps. But again, we took measures back in the spring to try to adjust for that. So I think we're okay there. It is a little bit of a sting, but it's okay.
I know the university made some decisions about fall because of the COVID-19 predictions, including freezing tuition.
Yes, we did. We leaned very hard for our future, really in our students' financial future, in that we froze tuition and fees coming up for this fall semester and for next spring as well. So for the next academic year, we were the first university in the Commonwealth to do that. We felt very strongly that we should do that. Not only do we serve a region that has had some economic hardships over the past years, but we also now serve a Commonwealth of Kentucky, where many individuals are undergoing some financial strains and financial changes, both maybe in the jobs that they used to work, but also in the parents and the caregivers and other individuals that were supporting them. So we felt like it was the right thing to do under the circumstances, and we're very proud that we were the first one to the table to do that.
Going back to getting some of the offices back open around the 1st of June, what are some of the things the university is doing to protect employees?
Sure. Well, much like you have probably seen on the governor has a nice informational piece just about every day about 5 o'clock on the news. Overarchingly, we're really basing our return or restart of campus, if you will, starting about June 1st on a couple of things. Number one, we are using the White House plan. Number two, we're using the Governor Beshear's Healthy at Work 10-point plan. And we're also using a number of CDC recommendations. So a blend of all three of those broad-based policy pieces to really guide us. Individual to campus, most all of our units they're not quite complete, but I call it a work in motion. They have most of the items there have been working through things that they need to begin to reopen. As you probably know, we're not bringing back everyone on June the 1st. We're only bringing back certain categories of employees around emergency services. Really, emergency service individuals never really left campus. But we're also bringing back around June the 1st, a very slow phase return of some core offices like human resources, our bursar's office, some of our accounting, some of our financial aid. So this is not broad-based all over campus. These are core offices that we've got to get back going. And what we're going to do is we're going to keep our buildings on campus locked during the month of June. So June 1 to June 30, our buildings will be locked to the public, and associated offices will be available to the public, i.e. our students primarily, only on an individual appointment basis. And in the summer, that's not too much. Most of our work is done online. Most of it is done by phone, other telecommunications. So what we're going to be asking our folks to do when they start coming back in June is take that first week to week and a half and really assess your individual unit. So a unit on one side of campus and the operations that they employ may look very different from, let's say, the radio station, MSPR, very different from your operations. So for the first week or two, we'll be asking people to look at the traffic patterns that they want to use in the future. We've already, in a couple of offices, started putting up plexiglass, so there's a barrier between the employees and people who may come in if we start opening some doors in July. We've also started ordering signage for campus. We'll be distributing personal protective equipment. We've already started that to some units. That will continue as we get into the first week of June. So we're really looking at just about the whole month of June is keep the doors closed and everybody is doing planning and getting ready. And then in July, we may start operating with some buildings having some very limited hours, maybe bringing back a few more employees, all trying to phase this in as we get closer to that fall semester. So a lot of careful planning. It will be very slow in June, and we'll be phasing people in. Really, only about a third of our workforce will be back in June, and most all of them will only be working maybe 2 to 3 days a week on campus. So we're still employing all those social distancing and modifications that have been requested.
And on that note, we're going to have to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, I'm Dr. Tony Weaver for Health Matters. This week, Health Matters looks at COVID-19 numbers, vaccines, and strategies. Oh, and swimming. It's time to talk about swimming. You can't have summer without swimming. Join us this weekend for the No Mask, No Gloves, No Service show, and ask your doctor if Health Matters is right for you.
Tune in to Health Matters Saturday mornings at 10 and Sunday mornings at 6 on Morehead State Public Radio.
And we're back here on Open Mic here at Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Dr. Jay Morgan, president of Morehead State University. Thanks again for speaking with us. The COVID-19 crisis has impacted a lot of universities financially. I know there have been less people on campus, but that doesn't necessarily mean the university had to let people go. What has occurred as far as layoffs at MSU?
Well, you are correct that as you look around in both the national news and the news here in our state of Kentucky, lots of companies, lots of small businesses, and consequently, a number of universities have had to make some pretty tough financial decisions. And we've seen everything from other universities, unfortunately, laying people off, some for short term, some for longer term durations. And while we don't know all the implications around those, our hearts go out to both them and their employees, and it really is a tough financial picture for all of higher education and really private industry too. Speaking more specifically about Morehead State University, I'm very proud that our campus was very proactive. If you even hit rewind to about 8 or 10 months ago, all through this academic year, we operated with a very conservative budget. Little did we know a coronavirus would come in and create all the angst and havoc that it did. We were simply trying to be cautious. So that played to our benefit as we got into having to incur a number of losses of returning dining and housing fees to students, parking fees to students, etc., which was a significant cost to us. Also very proud of our campus in that we averted a number of furloughs and layoffs, because around the latter part of March, early part of April, we started doing some pretty significant internal budgeting adjustments for this current academic year. And it allowed us to really escape or get out having to furlough or lay anyone off. Now, we've been in okay financial shape going into the summer because of those proactive things that we did all across campus. And it was not just one person. It was units everywhere gave up a number of funds to make sure that we could keep our people going. And we really prioritized our students and also our employees over the past two and a half months as we've been working through this. What we don't know, Leanne, going forward is what's the future look like? There are so many variables, more variables than we have ever seen in higher education. And I've been in higher education 2+ decades in Kentucky and have never seen the number of variables that we're dealing with right now. So we have been very fortunate so far at MSU that we've not laid anyone off and we've not furloughed anyone. I don't think anybody can make any promises about the future, but we have tried to prioritize our students and our employees.
That was one thing I was curious about. I know there has been a lot of information about reopening K through 12 classrooms, but what is higher ed discussing?
Well, it's a number of things. And as you know, we operate somewhat like K-12. We're in the same line of business, but very different in a number of our operations. Not only do we have the classroom environment to manage, but we have residential halls here on campus. We have dining. We have athletics. We have a number of student clubs and other opportunities, travel. So it's almost like a piece of clay, and every couple of days to a week, you're reforming what that piece of clay looks like based off the circumstances. Right now for the fall semester, and what we're planning for is to get our campus prepared through this summer, June and July, when hardly anybody's here, and mainly only employees, to be ready for our students to come back in August. We are backgrounding right now how we might make that placement. We have swung a number of additional course sections this fall from which normally would be face-to-face to a few more online. We've also created some that are moving toward a hybrid format, and that hybrid format could look very different depending on whether you are in accounting or whether you are in biology or anywhere down the curricular pathway. So by example, a hybrid course could be they meet in person on Tuesday but online on Thursday. Or maybe they meet in person the whole first part of the fall semester and online the whole second half of the semester. That's going to look different according to the discipline. Now, we're also looking at a number of course sections, and our campus is known for having small course sections anyway. Our average faculty-to-student ratio, even in a normal year, is about one faculty member, one instructor, to about every 17 or 18 students. So our classes are traditionally small, and that plays to our benefit right now. It's actually what we're known for and what we want to be known for. We are taking some of those courses that have a little bit more than 18 in them on average. We're splitting some of them we're moving them from the classroom they were scheduled originally to meet in to larger classrooms and a number of other things. So we're working through that this summer. We're trying to keep the student in mind in doing that, trying to make sure that we can distance students to the degree possible. And we're also going to begin using a number of auditoriums that we traditionally have not used for instruction. So we'll be moving some classes in auditoriums. We may move some into our student center. We may even have some down at our basketball arena just to have that distancing. On the food side, we will be offering food service this fall, but with a number of precautions, probably related to number of people that can be in line, the spacing. We may have some more to-go food venues instead of the traditional get your sandwich and sit down and visit right there on the spot. So we're hopeful people go out on the quad here and sit down and have lunch with each other on the grass and enjoy that same student camaraderie, just in a different environment. Our residence halls will be open this fall. We are planning for a little bit lighter residence hall capacity for this fall, but we think that's a good thing. It takes a little bit of pressure off the number of students living on campus. So all of our units are making these adjustments, and I kind of go back to that example of that piece of clay. Every week or so, we are reshaping and reforming it. We'll continue to do that all the way up to August when we restart.
I do wonder about projections for enrollment in the fall. Is there any concern since spring recruiting was suspended due to the pandemic?
We do anticipate some degree of change for fall enrollment. But let me back up a little bit to this prior fall and spring. Luckily, we were able to get out into high schools in the fall of 2019 and do quite a bit of recruiting through the winter of 2020 and really up to the beginning or first week or so of March, and got a number of high school visits in. Also, many of our students had filed for the FAFSA all the way back into the fall of 2019, so we got some of that behind us. So our delinquency, our hit, if you will, really took place from about mid-March to now, where we could not get out into high schools. To compensate for that 2 months or so of time, we made a number of calls to individuals, prospective students, current students, graduate students. We reached out to them through social media and other means. So we kept the recruiting process going, but from mid-March until now, we just had to do it in a little bit different way. We do expect, much like most any other university in our country, to take a little bit of a hit in enrollment. We don't know what that looks like yet. Right now, our deposits for our SOAR, that would be our summer orientation for incoming new students, has been tracking along slightly down, but tracking along a little bit better than what we thought. I would suspect that we will take a couple of percent hit on loss of new students coming in, just because many of them may elect to take a semester off or do something differently. So we've had to adjust our budget and expectations, projections a little bit there as well. So I think most every university's getting ready for that.
And that's all the time we have here on Open Mic. Dr. Jay Morgan, president of Morehead State University, I do appreciate your time.
Thank you, Leanne. Great to be with you and appreciate the time, and hope everyone gets an opportunity to at least drive through our campus this summer. If you're in the area, it's beautiful. Trees are blooming, grass is growing, and we just need more people on campus going forward. We look forward to the fall.
Thanks for tuning in to Open Mic. Our show is produced by Greg Jenkins, and our theme music is Turtle in the Creek, composed by Galen Green and performed by The Wooks. Produced by Morehead State Public Radio with the generous support of listeners just like you. We'll see you next Friday.